Hey, what the heck is going on, everybody? It is September 8th at 7:19 p.m., and it's your main man, Jonah, here. I don't even want to listen to that last podcast because I was coming down from being stoned and probably a mumbling freaking mess. I was just a mess, you know. Finally got some kids back at school. Pretty cool. This is day two. You can tell my throat's a little shot from that. Bunch of kids who had never been in school before, which, I mean, granted, it's kindergarten, but typically parents send kids to pre-K. But with COVID, everybody's probably a little more reluctant to do that, or reluctant, I think. Is that a word? Reluctant? Reluctant? Yeah, I think reluctant. So, anywho, and if you were ever on, if you watch Twitter, you'd be fucking hard-pressed to be sending your kids to school, because these posts I'm seeing from the West Coast are fucked up. I'm thinking about doing that, you guys, like a little virtual insanity, you know, moment in this show, where if you are not into social media, which I am definitely not, but I do keep Twitter just for the news, maybe I could kind of brief you guys on some of the chaos that's out there without you having to actually engage in it yourself, therefore keeping your blood pressure a lot lower and your family and self a lot happier. So, anywho, I mentioned last show that I did shrooms finally after all this time. It was crazy. It came in a little chocolate bar. Apparently down in Washington, D.C. right now, you can just walk into a store and buy these things. And one tab or one little piece of chocolate was kind of like, ooh, I feel good. Two of them is like, hey, I'm feeling really good. Three of them is, okay, you know, could have some mild hallucination. And four of them is like full-on shaman trip. So I had three, and then I think I had a fourth one. Now it's getting a little fuzzy. Between now and then, I've smoked a lot of dope like a fucking dumbass. But listen, here's the thing. I really enjoyed it. It was awesome. I was totally ready for it. But my buddy was not. I had gotten him some acid, a couple tabs from the old neighbor, and he took one on our hike in, and then another one later, and maybe he went to three, I don't know, but he had a wicked bad trip, and it totally fucked the whole experience. So, you know, we're hiking up this trail, steep trail, a little waterfall off to the side, having a good time, and he's chatting a mile a minute, this guy. And as soon as we had hit the trail, I could kind of feel it, like, ooh, okay, all right, starting to pick it up. It had been raining off and on, and so the ground was slick, you know, and I'm kind of getting this sort of cool, reflective, like, you know, the sheen from the water is more pronounced. The trail had a little tint to it. I don't know, it was just really cool, right? Lots of greens out there. It was nice, it was nice. I'm like, oh, yeah, here it comes, here it comes. And anyway, he's still talking and talking, and I really wanted to have these shrooms to, like, go out and just have a total, you know, me alone in the woods, like, spiritual experience, right? And I screwed up because, you know, that was the selfish side of me. The selfish side of me, you know, it was all about me, all about myself. And in the meantime, I got my buddy with me who's tripping, and we're going for a hike, you know, and I promised him some swimming at the end. So looking back on it, I do think I misplayed it a little bit. But anywho, we finally get up the hill, and now I'm full on tripping it, and I'm tripping harder on shrooms than I ever have, which is cool, right? Like, whoa, you know, now it's like seeing these psychedelic colors kind of coming in waves at you, almost like a sound wave, except it's color, and it's kind of vibrating off of the trees or vibrating off of the grass. And then you'd have moments of like total lucidity, right, where you don't even think you're tripping, and then bam, kind of right back into it. So really cool. And I end up going off trail. I'm like, yeah, I got to get in the woods. I got to get off of this main fucking trail. So he comes with me. We sit down against the tree. It starts raining again. So we suit up. And I'm not saying too much, right? Like, the universe is being revealed to me just as I sit there, right? Like, the few things I said, I realized how ridiculous they sounded. Not because I was tripping, but they were ridiculous in the sense that, like, there really was no ultimate truth, right? Like, you could go deeper and deeper behind these things. And I shouldn't say ultimate truth, but my words could be interpreted so many ways that there was really no need to speak the words at all, right? Because there was no absolute. That's what I meant to say. Like, nothing is ever absolute. And so I would say something and then realize, like, well, that's not totally true 100% of the time. And so then I realized, like, how futile even talking about stuff was. So it was crazy. It was crazy. Meantime, he's jabbering, jabbering, jabbering. And I feel bad because we sat out there for a while. And I think he started to tweak out a little bit. Not used to be a country boy, but now he's been living down in New York City. and just around a bunch of fucking crazy, tweaked out, you know, liberals. No offense, libs, but man, some of you guys are nuts, just like some conservatives are. All right, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. But the people who live in the city are just like so out of touch with reality. God bless them. And anyway, I think he got a little nervous about that, and you know, he's still trying to find himself. He's down there. He's dating this black chick. You know, they just got engaged. God bless him. And that's cool, right? Like, I got no problem with that. But just his life is going in a place that I don't think anybody, including himself, would have predicted 5 years ago. And rather than seeming very, like, confident about all of these things or more self-assured, you know, it really seemed like the chatter was kind of filling up his unease, you know, filling up the gaps in, you know, in the distances or in the moments when he could reflect on himself. And that's total projection, right? Like, I love this guy to death. Like, super good dude, has always been there for me. I've always been there for him. But I was like, man. And he had done some drugs the weekend before with another friend of ours who's off the deep end, full-on polygamy, swinging relationship, basically trying to fill holes where God used to be for this kid. Now he's out there just doing his own thing, total hedonism. And so we get up, we keep walking, and then this dude kind of comes on to me a little bit, you know, little sexual advances. And again, it comes back to this idea of him being not really sure who he is, you know. And I had had some, at one point in my life, I'd had a little, like, unease with myself, I guess. You know, I've been brought up so conservative Christian that I didn't want to be like that, right? Like, I wanted to be open-minded. And so I got to college, and I threw off all those chains, and I treated everybody great. I went to all these ally meetings. Like, I went to, you know, I hung out with people of different ethnicities. Like, I was game for anything. Like, I didn't judge anybody. And, you know, you get into that world a little bit, and then you get in a situation where maybe you're lonely or abandoned. Like, I was working as a remote employee at one point, a different job. And I was living with these two queers, and I'm all alone out there. I'm working 70 hours a week for months, months on end, all by myself, don't know anybody. And so, you know, it's like, I don't know, I was like a dude in a prison a little bit, right? You're just like, oh, hey. And so anyway, the point is, I also kind of lost myself. I was like, whoa, if I'm even thinking about this stuff, does that mean I'm straight? Does that mean I'm gay? Does it mean I'm bi? Like, what the hell? Because I've had a lot of relationships with women. I love women. I get hard thinking about women. You know, I've had a lot of interactions with women. And so it was just strange. It was just really, really weird. And I remember kind of battling that in myself for like 18 months, trying to figure out what the hell was going on. And I realized that for me personally, you know, what I define it now is just like straight but kinky, right? Like, the idea of something taboo turns me on, but actually engaging in the taboo does not turn me on, not at all. And I've done it a couple of times, and it's like, no, this is not, you know, like, it's not that I didn't want it to work, but it didn't really do anything for me. And so anyway, I feel like that's kind of where my homeboy's at. He just is feeling his way out. He's not closed-minded about anything. He's surrounded by a lot of those folk. And so, I don't even know how we got on it, but like I said, eventually, like, we had this moment, because even though he's tripping on acid and I'm tripping on shrooms, like, we could both feel the energy, right? Like, we'd been around each other long enough for enough years, I think is what it was, and thus, you know, both of these psychedelics took us to the same place, right? Like, that's why I think of it as a trip, you know, that's what's helped me not have bad trips ever since that bad trip on acid was thinking of it as you're just along for the ride. Like, you don't get to control it. Like, it is a genuine trip, and eventually the ride stops and you get off. But until then, you're just along. You're going for it. And so, anywho, I end up fucking with him a little bit, which probably I should not have done. But I had asked him several times. I was like, whoa, bro, I'm really tripping. Like, how you doing? He's like, yeah, I feel good. Never said to me that he was tripping super hard. But I end up, so we break that off, right? He, like, kind of comes on to me, and I'm, like, feeling it. And then I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, what the fuck? And so we keep hiking, and I guess that sort of tweaked him out. And then I end up getting him, because it's a hard to describe, but I basically get him to say that he's gay, even though he knows he's not gay, and I know he's not gay. Like, I used a little bit of logic on him, and we kind of got there. And then I was like, so what are you going to do? You just proposed to your girlfriend. What's going to happen? And then he's like, wait. and I bust a gut, you guys. I'm laughing my fucking ass off. And I'm tripping, right? I'm tripping balls. And so I'm like, hey, I gotta go pee. So I go pee, and I turn around, and the fucker is gone. Like, he straight up disappeared. And I'm like, what? Like, we're way out, right? Like, we're as far from the vehicle as you can get. And I'm like, what? And I'm thinking to myself, did I even start hiking with this guy? Like, that was the first thought I had, right? Like, did the whole time that this experience was happening, did I imagine having this dude with me? And then it's like, no way, because he brought me this stuff. But I don't know how he disappeared so quickly. So I'm yelling his name. He doesn't answer. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, he's going to get lost out here. We're going to have to call the cops. The helicopters are going to have to come. It's going to be all over the news. Like, oh, gee, you know, my life is flashing before my eyes, right? Like, just, I'm like, this is it. You know, fuck myself. Here we go. And so I'm like, well, what do I do? Do I hike around the loop back to the car? Or do I hike back the trail the way we came? And so I thought, I'm like, he probably would go back the way he came, right? Because he doesn't know anything out here. So I start hiking up. And I get to the top of the hill, and I realize everything looks very familiar. And so I say to myself, well, if he made it this far, he would be able to get back to the car. But if he went the other way, he could panic or tweak out or not be able to find the way. And so maybe I should turn around, hike quickly, and either catch up to him that way or just meet him at the vehicle. I called my wife. She agreed that was a good idea. So I start hiking back down. And boom, all of a sudden I run into him. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, praise the Lord, dude. Like, I'm so glad I found you. He's like, what the fuck happened? I'm like, I had no idea, dude. I was going to pee. I turned around, you were gone. He's like, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't feel good. I'm like, all right, well, let's get out of here. Let's go back to the car. But he is really uneasy, really uneasy. He's like, well, just so you know, people know I'm here. I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, the police know I'm out here. I'm like, what? The police? He's like, yep. I was like, what's going on, man? He's like, I called him. Like, you called the police. He's like, I called everybody. I said, you called everybody. He said, I didn't know where I was. I was lost. I was freaking out. I'm like, okay. Are they looking for you? He's like, they're looking for me. And he's still standing off. Like, he's not getting too close to me. And also, at this point, he's wearing no shoes. Completely barefoot. I'm like, bro, what? I'm like, let's get to the car. So I'm hiking back up with him. He gets on the phone with his girl because the signal was so bad. It was back and forth all the time. And apparently what happened was he told her that I had a gun and that I was going to kill him out here. You know, here I am, friends with this dude for over 14 years, probably 15 years, I guess. And, you know, we'd just been apart for so long. We haven't really hung out over the last few years. Came up for my wedding. That was pretty much it. And, you know, being down in the city, being with this tweaked out girl, like, yo, listen, I know black people can't be racist, but this chick is racist as fuck. And anyway, I'm sorry. So the whole time we're walking, he's on the phone with her, trying to make sure that, you know, he's safe. She's screaming at him, right? Like, she's just screaming at him as if that's what you're supposed to do to a person who's on a bad trip. And so I call my wife and I'm like, listen, apparently the police are out looking for us. He called 911. I don't want them tearing the place apart because I found him. And she's like, yeah, you should probably call them and let them know you found him. And I'm like, fuck me, you know, fuck. You know, my career just spiraling down the drain. And so I call. They say, yup, we got his call, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, we're going down to this parking lot. Okay, where is it? We're going to meet you there. I'm like, all right, that's fine. And he said, okay, well, I'll call the other county, too, because you're kind of on the county line. So I'm like, all right. So I call the other county, tell them what's going on. And they call me back, like, half an hour later just to make sure everything's okay. I'm like, yup, he's coming behind me. The story was that he took too many marijuana edibles. That's what we were going with. And so we're getting close, and I'm like, bro, we got to ditch all this stuff. Like, the cops are going to be down there. We got to get rid of everything, you know, because we had another tab left. We had some more shrooms, had the weed. And so we throw it all off the trail. You know, and the girl's like, yeah, you got to do that. But she still thinks I got a gun to this guy's head. Come to find out, she called her mother. And the mother drove like 100 miles an hour down here to try to save this dude from me, who apparently had a gun to his head. And so we get down and the cops are there. And, you know, they're like, hey, cool. Glad we didn't have to go up and find you guys. And my buddy's still acting kind of strange. But the cops were super duper, super duper duper cool. So, so thankful that the Lord spared me having these guys come and not somebody else. And, you know, I have to give them our information, make sure, you know, oh no, we don't need any medical attention. And my buddy's still standoffish, but he's coming down from the trip, thank God. Then he puts me on the phone with the girl's mom. And she starts screaming at me. She's like, I'm down here in racist such and such place, surrounded by all these motherfucking white people, blah, blah, blah. And I drove all the way here, and you got a gun to that kid's head. And I'm like, no, I don't. You know, I got, the sheriff is standing right here. If you want to talk to the sheriff, she's like, I don't need to talk to him. If I was there, I'd be smashing your heads together, blah, 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 blah. I'm terrified of all these racist motherfuckers in this town, blah, 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 blah. And I finally go, ma'am, don't you ma'am me, blah, blah. And I said, ma'am, he's a grown man. You know, because she's attacking me. Like, so this is somehow my fault. Somehow my fault. I'm like, ma'am, he's a grown man. And she goes, yep, you're right. And then, boom, she hangs up on me. Oh, okay. So, anyway, we try to get in the car, but all of a sudden he won't get in the car, and the sheriff's trying to get out of there, right? But he's like, oh, fuck, like, what the hell's going on? So I end up wandering over there. I open up the door, his door. I get in the car, and thankfully he follows me over kind of like a puppy dog, gets in the car, and we drive out of there. And he's still tweaking. He's still messed up. We get to the house. He ends up being on the phone with this chick for like 4 hours while she's tongue-lashing him. I don't know what's going on. His dad ends up coming down because he had called his dad. And dad's like, oh, I need to make sure, you know, he needs, because I told his dad, I'm like, he didn't tweak out until he came out to me, you know, and he said, like, oh, I got to make sure people know, you know, got to make sure he knows he's loved, this and that. I'm like, sure. And like I said, he's not gay, just straight but kinky, open-minded. But it was a clusterfuck. It was a clusterfuck. I had a great time while I was tripping. I didn't trip at all after I realized he disappeared. So that was kind of interesting, right? Like, even though I had ingested a lot of shrooms, they weren't controlling me to that degree. Sobered up quickly. Or maybe just the good Lord stepped in, right, and helped me out. I don't know. But kind of the takeaways that I had was, you know, it broke my ego pretty good. Like, it made me realize, like, I am not the center of the universe and I don't know shit. So that was cool. And then the other takeaway from that experience was, like, okay, can't keep fucking around with this stuff because there's legitimate consequences. There's part of me that's pissed, right? There's part of me that's like, this fucker ruined it, right? Like, it wasn't my fault. It was this idiot. But still, right? Like, you know, that's some heavy stuff. And if you're going to involve other people, like, is that really showing good judgment? Like, here I am thinking this kid can handle himself and, you know, because he talked a big game, but that wasn't true. So, I don't know. But I didn't feel like smoking for a while after that. Like, I felt great. I felt fine. I don't know what it was that tipped me off to smoking for the first time. But then I just, you know, slowly ramped up. And then it got to that, like, abusive stage of smoking, right? Where you feel like a piece of shit about yourself. So you just fucking crush yourself over and over again. At least me, right? Like, that's what I tend to do. So, I got to the point to where I was smoking super duper heavy again, just pounding it, and finally, you know, started kind of an upward curve. I was smoking a little bit less, right, because it was totally unsustainable. Like, I was slurring my words just during the regular day. My eyes were a mess, and then all of a sudden, here I was, you know, podcasting with you. A couple people had emailed me, you know, started reading the Bible again. Like, I just, you know, kids are coming in school, like, this is it, man. Like, what the fuck are you gonna do? Like, you want people to listen to you, you want to be respected, like, you got to be somebody worth respecting. So, did not smoke last night, did not smoke tonight. I admit, I'm tempted, because I had a beer tonight with the wife, but, you know, I'm gonna do my best not to do that. So, appreciate you listening to that story. There's a lot more that has happened in the month that I've been gone. Oh my gosh, a month, I'm sorry, in the month, but, it's good to be with you. It's good to be with you indeed. So I've been reading the New Testament now. The New Testament is kind of from the apostles, and it's the story of Jesus' life. And I'm reading Matthew. And my takeaways from Matthew this morning, at least, chapter 7, verse 11, don't be afraid to ask for things in prayer. Like, ask and you'll find, seek and you'll... I think ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. So it's like, basically God was saying, hey, I give the bird the ability to fly, right? Like, what more can I give a child of mine, right? Like, you just got to ask. So I thought that was kind of interesting, right? God gave us like total clearance to request things of him, and it's okay. So that was pretty cool. And then there was another couple of verses about judging and like the whole speck of sawdust. And, you know, don't point out the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, in your neighbor's eye, when you have a log in your own. You know, take the log out of your own eye first before you talk about the speck in his. And that was kind of interesting to me because I hear people say, don't judge. And that fucking pisses me off. I can't stand it when these motherfuckers say, don't judge. Don't judge people. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, this person comes up to me, like, covering neck tattoos and earrings and fucking all skinny and wasted looking and stringy hair and, you know, dirty clothes. They come up to me. I'm like, I'm going to judge them. You know, I'm not saying they're a bad person, but I'm going to hold a little tighter in my wallet because it's like, what the fuck does this guy want, right? And I'm going to judge you if you're super slobby, gross, fat, like 400 pounds. You know, it's like, okay, something, you know, this person does not have control of at least one aspect of their life, you know. It's just how it is. And if somebody comes to me dressed all in a suit and, oh, hey, hello, you know, nice firm handshake, looks me in the eye, clear and articulate. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not saying that this is a good person. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that, okay, you know, maybe they got a little education, maybe they got a little bit of money, maybe they, you know, this may or may not demonstrate work ethic, like, I don't know, but it does kind of categorize them a little bit for me. So, I don't know if that sounds superficial. I think today wants people to think that that's a superficial assumption, but I just don't see it like that. Like, I don't see it. The cases are overwhelming. And I've thought about that a lot with myself lately because my clothes, for some reason, all my t-shirts have ended up being black. Like, I don't know why. I never wore black growing up, but somehow every t-shirt I own is fucking black. And so I go out to the store or something, I'm wearing my black t-shirt and my beat-up work shorts and, you know, some real scummy shoes that are all cut up, you know, the sides are all blown out. And people look at me, and I can tell they're judging me a little bit. And, you know, what I've realized is that, like, as society, like, we have kind of used clothes and appearance as a way to categorize ourselves. Like, are you a fucking gangbanger? Like, do you got your pants around your ankles? You know, your boxers showing out, this, that, and the other thing. Like, big gold chains and whatnot, and you walk into a store, and the store owner kind of gives you the once-over. Like, it's because there's a group of people who are legitimate criminals who dress like that, right? Like, there's a group of people who are legitimate rednecks, you know, racist, redneck, Confederate flag-waving fucks who dress like I dressed, right? Like, it's not good. And if you dress another way, then people will look at you that way. I used to hate it. I used to think it was nonsense. And now I recognize that, like, okay, like, the system happened. Like, nobody made the system happen. Like, this is just how it ended up. And I can either bitch about it and try to fight it and then get my ass kicked all the time, or I can start to embrace it a little bit. I'm lazy as hell, so I haven't embraced it very much. I still dress like a slob, but, I'm less resentful of the system, or I'm less pretentious about the system, I guess. Like, I recognize that there's some merit to it. So, enough of me. So anyway, that judging thing. Oh yeah. The judging thing. So here's the thing. I like that the Bible was saying, don't point out other people's problems or mistakes, because that is what has fucked me. And this is what I'm learning, you guys, as I read the good book. I am learning that there's so much truth. Like, all of my problems, all the mistakes, all the places I went wrong, all the times I lost people in my life, right? All the times that I've burned bridges, all the opportunities that I wasted. Like, it all comes back to not following the teachings in this book. And I grew up with these teachings, man. But a lot of my problems at the office right now are because I was bitching about other people's mistakes or incompetence, either to their face or behind their back. And if I did not do that, I would be well-liked. And not only would I be well-liked, but I'd also be one of the best teachers. I mean, it could be argued that I am the best teacher in the building, but it could be my gigantic fucking ego, too. But better to be well-liked, right, than to be dismissed or excluded from things. So I did it to myself. And then I come across this verse and I see, oh, wow, if I had just followed God's word, and in this particular Bible I have, God's word is all red. And it's like, wow, if I had just followed the words of Jesus, I wouldn't be in this mess. Like, I just wouldn't be in this situation that I find myself in now. Like, fuck. You know, and there's not a lot of things out there where you can look for guidance on how to live your life and have it really be true and have it really be authentic and have it really be, I don't want to say meaningful, but just time tested, right? Time tested. So that was pretty cool. And my throat was totally shot. I don't know if I'm screaming at you guys combined with the school that I had today. The kids are a mess, man. I got this one kid. He's like a fucking feral dog. Like, never been to school before. Doesn't listen to anything. Can barely speak. Running around all the time. Like, it's crazy. So I got to go in tomorrow and lay down some explicit instructions. Like literally to the point where I have to draw a line on the board and be like, this is a line. It's full of, and I'll make it out of X's, right? I'll be like, each X is a person. Or maybe I'll even get some stick figures. I'll be like, look at all these stick figures. They're standing in a straight line. Like, this is how we walk in school. We stand in a straight line. Like, oh, here's a stick figure wandering away. Nope, nope, nope. We got to bring him back in. So he stands in line. That's how we do it. Like that kind of stuff. It's got to be explicit. So I'm not going to read Proverbs chapter 25. It's not because I don't want to. It's just because now I'm plumb wore out. But I do want to give you at least an exercise of the day, one arm dumbbell rows. So if you are in the gym and you got some dumbbells, you're at home and you got a dumbbell, and you're doing some rows, which is where, like, maybe you put your knee on the bench and your left knee is on the bench and your left hand is on the bench and your back is completely flat, parallel with the floor. Your right hand is holding the dumbbell and your right foot is kind of bracing you, keeping your hips nice and flat. I like to, when I'm going down with a dumbbell, I like to rotate just a little bit. And I don't lock out my elbow so much as I kind of reach through the shoulder. Like I let my shoulder drop a little more to kind of pull that lat. And then when I'm, or extend the lat. And then when I'm coming up, there's two parts to this. Obviously, you have to rotate back a little bit, right? So you're going to rotate the square. And when you're halfway up, and then as you continue through the rest of the movement, dumbbell all the way to the top, your body's going to be rotated slightly all the way through, right? So it's like, you know, I'm rotated down towards the floor, dumbbell's down low. I'm bringing the dumbbell up, all of a sudden my torso is square, and then as the dumbbell reaches the peak of the movement, my torso is rotated slightly now down towards my left. So I really like that. I feel like it works the middle back well. But instead of using your bicep the whole time on this lift, which is what I see a lot, is people bringing their hands up to their shoulder. And so the elbow is moving back, but the forearm is going from perpendicular to the floor. And then as you pull that thumb up to your shoulder, now the forearm is parallel to the floor. That's no good, okay? You're going to be working your bicep too much. Instead, the dumbbell's down low, right? My back is flat, maybe slightly rotated down, and I'm getting ready to pull that fucker up. Move the dumbbell towards your hip a little bit and concentrate with your, well, the only thing you got, your mind, on pulling through almost like the back of the elbow. Like, think about the back of your elbow and bringing that up towards the ceiling and keeping the forearm perpendicular with the floor the whole time. So I'm not pulling from the bicep, I'm not pulling from the forearm, but instead I'm pulling, almost thinking about a line being drawn on the back of my elbow up towards the ceiling, and that dumbbell moving from the front of my body up near my shoulder and head as it dangles, moving back towards my hip as the rep is coming up. And bam, I'm telling you, you guys are going to get swole. That is a great way to do it. So, God bless you. Glad you're here. Our quote of the day is from Dave Ramsey. If you haven't listened to Dave Ramsey, he's a conservative Christian, money manager guy, just very, very conservative with his money advice. You know, save, spend less than you earn. And Dave Ramsey, from his book, The Total Money Makeover, we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. So, all right, everybody, remember to find satisfaction in the struggle and peace in the moment. We'll see you next time.